This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Tyler Reeve, I've been looking forward to having you on this podcast, dude.
Thank you, buddy.
I've been looking forward to it. Slide that microphone a little bit closer to you. But what have you been up to this fine Tuesday afternoon?
Man, I just was I'm just catching up, man. I just got back last night from being in Tampa for like 5 days. I was down there for a bachelor party, and then I played golf on Sunday, kind of a business golf thing that, of course, involved libations and all that stuff. So I felt wonderful getting back yesterday and just catching up on everything today.
And were you just, was it Ireland or Scotland?
I was in Ireland, yeah, for almost 2 weeks.
No shit.
Yeah, it was awesome. The golf was awesome. The fellowship, hanging out with my buddies and all that stuff was great. My wife flew over halfway through, and we went and hung out in Dublin and all that stuff. So that was great. Of course, we went to go for the Florida State Georgia Tech game. So my Noles let me down there at the end.
Yeah,
but
dude,
you know,
it's rough.
All right, it's been a rough start, but I still think our coach is our guy. I just don't know if the rest of where that is at the moment, there may be a change or not.
I feel you as an ACC fan of like a historically pretty good ACC program. I'm a Virginia Tech fan.
Okay.
So I get it. It's been a struggle since Beamer Ball kind of died about 8-9 years ago or something. But
yeah, we finally had that resurgence. I think we're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
But that was unfortunate, and then kind of a sad way to end it. But at least we were in Dublin, so you know, it wasn't hard to find a pub to go forget about.
Yeah, dude. Dublin seemed like people reacted to college football pretty well over there too, which is crazy.
They've been doing it for like 20 years. I didn't know that. They do like a kickoff game there every year there's like the 20th year or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They did like,
because I know Notre Dame's done it a few times.
Yeah. So they did like 12 in a row. I don't know if they took a year off or something, but we were talking to the guys that kind of run the deal, and it's a big deal over there.
Yeah.
They all look forward to it.
Slide up to the slide. Sorry, up a little bit, dude. Yeah. No, you're good. Just looking over at the camera, making sure that's all good, and you're on it. So you're originally from, is it Mobile you're from?
Yeah, Mobile,
so
Alabama.
You're a Bama boy. Mm-hmm. And that's a town that I've had a lot of experience in working with Gary and Chuck and with Trey.
Yeah.
I've spent some nights at the Soul Kitchen. I've been to Boo Radley's. I've been to the Brickyard. I've seen it down there, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good spot. The original home of Mardi Gras.
That's right. That is right. That's one thing probably most people that are not from Mobile realize that, but we're pretty proud of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fun town to grow up in, man. Charlie and Gary went to the same high school I went to. Obviously, they're a little younger than I am, but so I didn't know them there. But and then another songwriter I've always looked up to named Monty Criswell. He went to the same high school we went to in Alabama, in Mobile. So it's a good town. I get back some. My dad's still there, and got some buddies that are still there from high school and everything else.
That's awesome.
We'll get after a little bit.
Yeah, dude. I like, there's something about just, and everybody, and you've been in town for a while to where, you know, like everybody's like, go Dogs, Georgia this, Georgia that. Alabama's got some fucking talent. From the top of the state near Huntsville and Athens all the way down to Mobile, and of course in different pockets like Jacksonville, Birmingham, Montgomery, you've got legends and folk kids that are still coming up within the feeder program in Alabama right now.
Yeah. You know, I think actually it was cool the other night when Riley had the opening for the Duck Blind. A bunch of us ended up on stage singing together, and it was myself, Jamie Johnson, Drake White, Riley, and Ella. And I didn't even think about the fact that I know it's all Alabama folks, but you know, and then I think Riley said it on the microphone or something. He said, it's nice to have, or maybe Drake, nice to have a bunch of people from Alabama up here all at one time playing. And you kind of realize the ilk of people that have come out of Alabama over the years. It's pretty cool now to see some of that kind of.
Yeah, dude.
Shining through a little bit.
Absolutely. Everybody's played a gig in Auburn, played at Bourbon, in Peace, or Sky Bar, or played at Galette's, or played at Red Shed, or played the Range in Montgomery, or played any of those towns, dude. There's I didn't understand until I started going down there, and I've only toured with Alabama-based acts, you know? I toured with Auburn fans for a while, then I toured with a Bama fan and Trey Lewis, and got to experience the Iron Bowl and do all this stuff, but it's like the scene of just live music within the college towns in the Southeast, particularly in Alabama,
is
incredible, dude. It's like, no wonder you guys get reps at a young age, man. Like you were playing the college towns and stuff coming up, right?
I did. Of course, that was kind of after I'd gone off to Florida State and then towards the end of that is really when I started kind of touring the Southeast with a, with my own band and stuff. But we certainly did. We did all those circuits, same deal. We did, you know, from just straight down 65, peeling off one way or the other all the way down it and back. So, yeah, I've done a bunch of them there.
You did some stuff with Corey Smith, right?
Back yeah, in the I day. Did.
You're a Corey Smith disciple.
Yeah, man, he's been a good friend of mine for a long time. We actually met. I opened for him prior to us really meeting and hanging out and becoming buddies. But eventually, I think it was like 2011, I'm pretty sure that it was, or might have been 2010. I think it was 2011 that he was just like, why don't you just come and open the rest of the ones this year for me? So we did a lot of shows together that year. And he and I became better buddies, which now we're still great friends. Yeah. We write together when he comes to town. And that's kind of cool seeing that for Corey. He, you know, he was always great at writing by himself and kind of stuck to that model for a long time. And now he's, for no other reason than he's just gotten interested in the co-writing side of things. So now when he comes to town, it's fun to get together with him and write songs. And, and I've been lucky enough to have a couple on his last record and I think one before that. But so it's been cool, man. I love that.
Yeah, growing up in the Northeast, I didn't quite understand the magnitude and the footprint that Corey left in the scene and just doing it his way and him, the, all the acts that kind of followed him and the list of people that have opened for Corey Smith. It's like a rite of passage. Like you look at like FGL, you look at Brantley, you look at Muscadine, you look at, I'm sure, Riley, Luke at one point, Morgan. Like everybody's done shows with Corey over the years.
Yeah, I mean, he's great at that, man. He's, and he's a good, I think he's very fair about not, he's great at being an independent artist. He crushed that. He kind of came up with that model early on where, you know, getting people free music to let them hear the music, like the music, and then come to the shows and then support by then buying records and everything else. That was back, that was like MySpace.
Yeah, dude. So,
but
top five or top eight or whatever it was.
Yeah. But he was great at that. He was really good at, you know, figuring out that you can break that barrier down by allowing people to have free music and then come to the shows and then they support because they want to and because they're fans. And then when you're putting out a true record or something, I mean, he was instrumental in me deciding to stop playing cover songs. Like when I was out on, not completely, but, you know, I went from being 4 hours a night playing, you know, all covers and six originals to after I came off the Country Throwdown tour and I got back and called Corey just kind of to see what he thought I should do. He said, man, screw the cover gigs, man. He's like, call every venue you've played, tell them you don't play cover shows anymore, tell them you won't play a free show to get in the door on a regular basis, charge people to get in there. If they come in and they pay to be there, they don't want to leave, so they want to like you. So if the music's good, they're probably going to stay, you know, even if it's $5 or $10, whatever it was. So that kind of changed that model for me, and I thought it was great. It saved me from, then I wasn't playing 4 hour shows a night. I was playing, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours max. It was all songs that I wrote and then a few choice covers that, you know, were ones fun for us to play. And, that was, he's always been a really, I guess, kind of leader in that sense of the independent side and how you really get your music out there.
Yeah. And just starting in the college towns and then just like growing the circle around, like going to Athens and then stretching that into Milledgeville, another college town, and going up to Augusta or in Columbia, South Carolina, and then working your way just kind of around to like Myrtle Beach and just expanding outside the college towns, dude.
No doubt.
The playbook, man.
Yeah.
The playbook.
He's one of the originals.
Yeah, dude. Sure. He's one of the OGs. I got to talk to you about what is it? Was it White Girls, White Wine, and Adderall?
Yeah.
Bro. As somebody who was part of like the DDID movement with Trey, like that song was one that I remember like having a moment in town when you were like, because are you still really doing the artist thing or you're more focused on writing right now?
No, I mean, so I still play a lot of shows. I do a lot of, you know, writer festivals. I've got the Plan Through company with a couple of my dearest friends, Cole Taylor and Cole Swindell.
It seems like that's going well, dude.
Yeah, those are awesome. And, you know, those don't really require a ton of, we're only doing, I think, six or seven this year of those, but that's kind of part of what that is. It's kind of a, you know, we don't want to oversaturate with what those shows are and what we're going after. But, you know, I still am doing like 60 to 70 shows a year. So that's still a lot, you know, and I go out there, all of them now, it's just myself and a guitar, whether it's in a round or it's just me for a certain show or a private show or whatever. So I still love that side of it. I love being on stage as much as I like writing. I think as much as those seem like they're really symbiotic, they're two very different things. So, you know, I think these days writers have become artists more than it used to be artists, and then you had your writers. So now it's kind of cool. I think people realize that they can say what they want to say. They don't have to say, well, I like this song, but I don't really like the second verse, or can you rewrite the second verse? Artists understand if they can be in the room. And I think right now we have a great crop of people that are great songwriters and that are also very talented performers and artists. So I'm proud of that for all those guys. I might put out, I've talked about this for a minute, but I might just put out I put out that EP back, I don't know, it's been a while, 5-6 years ago, I think. But I might do another one just of songs that I've liked that haven't made it on a big record or something like that. Yeah. But I don't have any grandiose ideas of being sellout some arena. I think I'm past that, man. I'm tired.
Yeah, dude. And there's nothing wrong. There's something about bringing like the writer's round concept to the world and going to a town or going to a city or being at some cool event and being like the music entertainment there. Like, I know California does a bunch of them, like out in wine country. I know like New York, like Long Island or like New England will have them. And like, I know like Jordan Walker goes around, does kind of the same thing. Or, like Trent Tomlinson, like a lot of the OGs that are like, man, we love being on stage and just playing the songs that we write, man.
Yeah, and it's cool too. It's cool because that's become a popular thing. And I think that's thanks to the popularity of the Bluebird and the Listening Room and places like that, the local, whatever. But the resurgence of Nashville as a city and so many people coming here to visit and that are now going and seeing those shows and they're going back home and they're like, we have to get one of these shows. So whether it's them letting a venue know or a radio station or, you know, a golf course or wherever that might be, I think the popularity of that is really high right now. And it's cool because I think a lot of people still don't know that songwriters write songs, you know, which is crazy to us because we're in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know that, but, but it is cool. I think it's awesome to see people react the first time hearing someone that wrote a song, and seeing them perform it themselves. Cause it obviously won't sound exactly like the artist. And it might be a different take on the way that it's played, or there's a different emotion there or something in the song that mattered more to that particular writer. So it's fun to watch people react to that. I think, you know, a lot of times they're like, bullshit, you wrote that song, or, you know, to whomever it might be. But it is fun. I do a lot of those when I'm out with Matt Alderman or Cole Taylor or Trent Tomlinson or any of those guys on stage, and you watch, you know, we can really go through a whole round and they're all songs people have heard, and they're, you know, I think you've got to explain to them prior, like, we wrote these songs because we're not just picking these as cover songs or something else. But yeah, man, it's been a great resurgence for the songwriter to be able to go out and perform.
And the chemistry of when you're up there with your buddies when you guys are having fun on stage, the crowd has a ball, dude.
Oh yeah.
We've seen it with our Raised Rowdy stuff that we've done at Live Oak and now over at Losers and now over at Riley Green's. We've seen it over the years, but then like you go to a show at the Listening Room and you have the right group of guys or girls up there and it's just, they're all kind of ripping on each other. There's a little ball busting in there. 100%. People love that shit, dude.
Yeah, they do. And I think it's cool that they see our side of the community and our friendship amongst each other. You know, it's cool that we have a job that we're with our friends on a regular basis, and you get to know people so well. You know, I can pick out songs that I can hear a song I've never heard on the radio, and I can probably guess who wrote it if it's a certain type of song. Like, there are certain, like, you know, isms that they use or the way their cadences are or the lines they use.
Who's a guy like that?
I mean, Jonathan Singleton for sure.
Yes,
Bobby Pinson's the same. You know, Trent, I think there's a lot of those guys, they have found a way to say things that they like to say in a similar way, but not ripping themselves off or ripping off something else. But it's just, I don't know. It's kind of, I think the people that are conversational writers, which are a lot of those guys I just named, they kind of write the way that they talk to you. So, you know, as you're going down the road and listen to a song, you're like, oh, there's no way that so-and-so didn't write this song. So, you know, I called Bobby, actually, the first time I heard some of it, I called him on the way to the row, and I was like, Bobby, did you write this song, some of it? And, of course, he goes, some of it. So, but, But yeah, I mean, those are there are songs like that, and it's nice just because it speaks to how well you know each other as writers, how much time you spend in an intimate setting, like sitting there pouring your heart out or laughing about something or whatever, you know, and all the jokes that come with all that, or but also all the shared heartbreak and, you know, through songs or through people going through a breakup or somebody, you know, losing somebody. Yeah. You know, you share a lot of intimate parts of your lives with those people, so you get to know them really well, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. How have you seen the scene kind of change? Like, what was the writers round world? Because you were here, like, you got here what year? Like, around when
I moved here in 2012. So,
right around when Whiskey Jam was getting started, right?
Right, yeah. So, I played my first Whiskey Jam before I even moved to town, but it had just started. So, I think they started in, like, I want to say October. It was a Halloween show, and I think it was 2011. So, it was like the end of October.
The Tin Roof days.
Yeah, no, this...
Or was it... It was at Winners. It was at Winners. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the first one I played, and then I moved in February. And then I did a lot and had a great time with Josh and Ward for a long time, and then we did a bunch of the ones out on the road and, yeah. and all that kind of stuff. So it's cool seeing that it still has its staying power and that what Ward's done with it and the way those guys started it.
And then were you a Revival guy too? Did you play some of the Tin Roof Revivals with Rob?
I did quite a few, yeah, a lot of them. So I was, because I think initially that was Channing and, I'm going to feel like an idiot. Not
Channing, Big Rob was involved with that? Or even
Rob wasn't there yet. So the first like five or six was Channing and then, God, someone else. I should know this because I'm probably going to get a text message. Be like, thanks, bro. But I can't remember who it was. And then Rob came down and kind of co-did that with Channing. And then I think Channing kind of peeled out because he was, you know, off doing his shows and everything else and then back to Georgia for a while. So, but yeah, I was there through all that stuff.
Because that was the first round that I remember going to. I remember knowing that I was in the right place. Because I worked in radio up in Jersey and like been around the scene seeing people, and I was like, I gotta get down here. It was that first Tuesday that I was in town, and it was Luke Combs, Big Rob, and Channing sitting up on the pew. She Got the Best of Me, I think, had just gone number one, and they were doing that. They called it the 300 pounders round or whatever. It was the three of them sitting up there, and I was like, holy fuck, I'm in the right place. You know, there was some kind of electricity about that, OG Revival days, like when Muscadon was playing, when Riley was playing, and then the kids that have even come after, like the Tyler Halversons, the Joe Fortners, the Rowdy Ryan Nelsons, you know, there was just like a culture to Tuesday nights, man.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. And that was also, it'd be hard because you'd have Monday night, you'd go to Whiskey Jam and do the whole, you know, because even when you weren't playing those things, you're still going out there to have drinks with your buddies, but also to meet other writers. And you know, that was one thing I think, I'm sure it's prevalent now. I don't see it as much because I'm old and I have a kid and I don't get out as much, but that was one of the things.
Dad life, baby.
Yeah, man. But I think that there's something important about getting out and being in that scene and like staying out late and making bad decisions with other buddies and being like, man, that was crazy. And then having to get up and show up and write a song hungover and, you know, going through that whole motion. I mean, your whole kind of web of the people you get to know and hang out with and write with. I think it kind of defines how you end up, you know, coming out as a writer. You kind of have different classes of writers. You might have some guys that are a little older than other guys, but they're all kind of in that same class of writers that all get like their first hits together and are in the same around the same time and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's pretty cool.
Who were some of those guys for you? Who else was moving to town around 2012, 2011?
Well, I would say, I mean, like, of course, Channing and I have been dear friends for a long time. Channing was my first co-write in Nashville.
Wow.
He was at EMI. And so he was my first, like, scheduled co-write. And we were buddies since day one. But all that same, that was, like, Josh Hogue, you know, Ward. It was Rainy Montana. Singleton had already had some success, but that was, like, right when it was really, you know, cooking. He had already had a few big hits, but there's just a lot of that group, man. Corey Crowder, you know, I don't know, there's a bunch of guys, man. It was, and also to this day, I just I still see those guys here and there. It seems kind of like the same. I don't think we have the, I don't think we can still run quite as hard as we used to. So, but I've seen some of the guys now. I see how close they are that I don't really know. I feel like halftime I go to a round and I'm like, I don't know anybody that's on this round. Like, I don't, or not when I'm playing, but if I just pop in one night or something. But it seems cool, man. It seems like there's a lot of good talent out there.
Bro,
I think a lot of these people are
so much right now, dude. Yeah. And there's kids that are getting buzz through the social media stuff, and then they move here, and you already kind of know who they are. Like, it's, I know back in the day, like Vine, and obviously like Instagram and MySpace was like a thing, and Facebook, and like you would see people put stuff up on YouTube and whatever. But now it's like the influx of kids coming in is crazy, dude.
Yeah,
it's nuts. The scene right now is in a very wild place because it's like any style kind of goes too. You know, it's like this post bro country thing. It's like everybody's in different directions. You have like the traditional resurgence. You have like the rock kids. You have the stuff that sounds a little more Morgan. The stuff that sounds a little bit more Zach. A little bit more Luke. Like it's wild.
Yeah,
it's wild game out there right now.
That's good, man. I think I've always thought just high tides raise all boats. So I've never really been one to say like, oh well. You know, whether or not I'm a big fan of a certain artist doesn't mean I don't respect what they do or the music they put out, because I understand what goes into that. So, but it's nice to see right now it's probably more eclectic than it's been in a long time.
Yeah, dude. And you have kids that are hanging out, like you have a different class of kids that's at Red Door every night.
Oh yeah.
Different crowd of kids, like the little skinnies of the world that are like the modern like losers guys, you know, like it's fun to see. And you've gotten to spend some time with little skinny man.
Yeah, he went with us recently up to we played a show in Ohio, myself and Randy Hauser and Cole Taylor. And
that looks sick. I saw some videos from that. That looked that was at a golf course?
Yes, that was one of our playing through events. So and Skinny happened to be out somewhere where we were talking about, you know, having that show coming up, and I think he rode up there with me the week or a couple weeks before I went up there just to go check out the course and stuff. And he met the owners of the club, and he pulled a guitar out and played some, like, played while we were playing golf in a golf cart, which was awesome. And then,
a little skinny, man.
Yeah, I was like, hey, man, I was like, you want to come back and help us out on the show? So he, you know, he was very helpful, and he jumped up and did one, and everybody loved it and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's been,
fun. He's a wild card, man. I love little skinny man. You never know. Like the shit he talks about, you're like, this can't be real, but it's real. I always say, like, I love introducing him when he's playing our rounds or playing our full band stuff. I always have like the most ridiculous intros for him, because I'm like, this kid's life is a movie. Like he, it's just fucking crazy, man. And it's like, you meet all these different personalities in town, like having Daly in town right now is electric, man.
Yeah.
Like it's, there's something special about Midtown right now. Like there's this fun energy that's there, that's even got guys and girls that have been in town for a long time, like yourself, like still coming out, you know?
Yeah. When I can.
When you can. Yeah. So what's it like? What's married life and dad life been like, man? How old's your little one?
It's awesome, man. He's 3 and a half. So, I guess now it's a little past that. He'll be 4 in December, but
awesome.
It's the coolest thing I've ever done. So my whole, kind of centrifugal motion changed. Obviously once he was born, they become kind of your priority. But I'm gone a lot. So, you know, that's a testament to my wife, who is understanding and awesome and knows that that's just part of my career and what I do. It's tough sometimes on the road, and that's probably why I go out less when I'm home, cause I'm gone a lot. But, cause I really thoroughly enjoy my time with them, but, I love it. I love being a father, and I love being a husband to her. So it's been good.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's awesome. And it's nice that you still get like the taste of the road, because that's something that's important for guys. And to have somebody, have a partner that understands that
is
huge, man. It takes a special woman to be with a songwriter, a country singer, like somebody in this life that we live, man.
No doubt, man. It's crazy. But I think it's kind of, especially when I have weeks where, like currently, I mean, I just got home Monday night. I leave again Thursday morning. I'm gone until Monday night again. And then I'm, you know, home for a few days and then gone again. So, I mean, there's a lot of that, especially in like the busier time of year. Usually, you know, November, December, January, it kind of slows down. And that's nice when you get a minute to kind of chill and not have to travel so much. But it is, I've always loved being on the road. I love traveling. So that's part of it.
That's awesome. So talking about golf, man, that seems like you're after it seems like it's like, It's like wife and kid, music, and then golf. Like those are the three. That's the big trinity.
My wife might disagree. She might put golf. Think that I have golf at number one. But
yeah, when did you start playing and getting into it? Was that something you did as a kid?
Yeah, a little bit as a kid. Yeah, and then I was in high school. I started playing more, and I went out for the golf team. I wasn't great. I was like an alternate.
Same. That's what I did too. Yeah, that's the best though, because you get to play all these courses that you wouldn't normally play, and you get to do that for free. Dude.
Yeah. That was fun. And then I went to college and I played. You could play for free as a student if you walked. So when I was there for the summers or whatever and didn't have classes going on, I would play like 36 holes a day doing that.
Wow.
Got into that big time. And then after I graduated from college, I played a ton in Atlanta. And then I kind of had there was a little while there that I didn't play quite as much. And then I ended up joining. I also didn't have a club here, so it was, that makes it harder, you know, when you have to go find a place, or you know, it's going to be a 5.5 hour round or something on a weekend. That's kind of a pain in the ass. But I ended up playing Cole Taylor, and I think it was Thomas Archer, and then maybe Jacob Davis, and I played a round at Old Hickory Country Club years ago. Like, I mean, 6 years I think ago, and we went out and played the course that day, and I was like, this is a badass little course, man.
Very nice, man.
And so I ended up joining there, and then I started spending a lot more time there, playing a lot more golf, just because you could go as long as you wanted to all day, and, you know, there's already balls on the range, and it's a three-hour round, and it's fun to hang out. And then, of course, Steve Smith bought it and put a lot of money into it, made it a lot nicer, and a great bar to hang out in. And it's awesome out there, because you have, I mean, I think we have like 30 or 40 songwriters and artists out there that are members. Yeah. So, you know, anytime you're out there, it's something might pop up, or you remember, oh, hey, we had this idea, or hey, you know, somebody canceled on us tomorrow, can you jump in, or you know, any of those kind of things. It's beneficial to the music side. And then of course, when we started playing through, which is golf and music kind of married, and charity involved in that as well. But it's also beneficial that, you know, Cole and I can go out there, and Cole Swindell and most of the guys we bring with us, love golf. So, you know, Hauser and Charles Kelly's going with us this weekend up to Nema Colin, and those guys love golf, and we're taking them to great golf courses and, you know, raising money for charity and playing these really intimate acoustic shows. But that's really what has been the catalyst for me being able to keep playing a bunch of golf, because if I got to keep my game at least decent. You don't want to go up there and be like, yeah, I know you really like that round, but now you have to live through me shooting 120 on this course. That would suck. So anyway, so I try my best there. I have good days and bad days, but yeah, I play a lot of golf. Yeah.
That's awesome. What's the wildest foursome you found yourself in?
People, man, I've been in some good ones. I mean, I would say John Daly, Kid Rock, Cole Swindell, myself. It wasn't a foursome because there were like eight of us. Those were wild. And then we went down to Troubadour a week after they had moved the Masters. I think Swindell invited me down there for that, but it was like Swindell, Morgan, Chase Rice, John Lessard, myself, and then Thomas Archer. But then we had Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Smiley Kaufman, Stephen Spieth, Jack Rucker, Darius's son, was playing with us, Matt Kill and Will Stelly, and we were out. I mean, it was like 12 or 13 guys. We ended up playing like a 7-on-7 scramble for, you know, whatever, ungodly amount of money that never even changed hands, because you have pros on both sides. So it was basically birdies are better, you know, and they're pulling the pin from 30 yards out and chipping them in and shit. You're like, all right, well, understand why you guys are professionals and I'm not.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
that's fucking wild.
Well, we've had some good ones, man. I've had a good time. Jake Owen and Furyk and I played did the practice round at Tim Aquana together, and that was a lot of fun. And so I've been in some good ones. It's always great to have good company. Any, you know, no matter what the golf course is, it's always fun if you have good company.
Yeah.
But it's also been great playing some great courses in great company, and you know, having a few, you know, few drinks.
Yeah, dude.
Per hole.
Yeah, dude. There's something special about it. And I hear hunting's a lot like that too, where it's just like the camaraderie, and golf is such a huge networking Tool, dude.
Oh yeah.
Like it, there's, and it's like they always say, it's like they say about fishing, hunting, whatever. A bad day on the golf course is better than a good day at work.
Yeah.
You know, for people that work 9 to 5s and stuff, but we get to kind of do what we love, but obviously it's like taxing, like where you have a bunch of rights and this and that. But there's something special about that too.
Yeah, man. And I also think, I mean, even you know, you play with your buddies, but if there's someone else that a buddy brings along, or someone who, you know, is involved in something that you're doing business wise or whatever else, you can play one round of golf with somebody and learn a ton about them.
Dude,
and
it's like, so
it's like
much.
That's like hanging out with someone 25 times at a bar, because you can watch them at their best. Like when they hit a great shot, how do they react to that? When they chunk one or blade one or something, like, you know, are they slinging a club? Are they getting pissed off? Or you can read someone really well just spending, you know, 4 hours with them on a course, and you have plenty of time to talk. There's no outside, you know, interference, I guess, as it were. So I've also appreciated that about golf. I think it's gotten me to know a lot of people and become closer to people or understand who they are by spending that time with them versus, you know, just going out and catching a few beers with them and everything else going on around you.
Yeah.
You know, or if you're going out to hear music, like, you know, you want to hear the music so you're not just bullshitting the whole time. I mean, a golf course, it's like 4 straight hours of just nonstop talking.
Yeah, dude, I love it, man. Are you going to be at the Blue Otter tournament?
Yeah, I'll be there. So we're same team every year. We won, I think it was the first year, and then I think we finished like second, and then something else. I don't think we won again. But it's myself, Swindell, Cole Taylor, and then Bradley Jordan, of course, who's started Blue Otter and one of my best friends. Yeah. The four of us are all very good friends. So. It's fun to get back. That's kind of our once a year, like, all right, let's all go play this tournament together.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll have a Raised Rowdy Crowned Head Cigars hole. And I think last year we had it too, where we're just going to be giving out cigars and some Raised Rowdy swag and stuff. And then Nikki T will be hosting the reception after. So
hell yeah.
We enjoy that day a lot. Yeah, man. It's a
fun.
Lot of fun.
That is a great tournament.
Yeah.
It's well done.
Yeah, it's a good group of people out there too, man. You never know who you're gonna see, it's just a fun day at a great fucking place, dude.
Yeah.
What kind of music do you like? Do you listen to other stuff besides country? Because you're just around it so much.
Man, I do. I'll say I probably should listen to music more than I do now. But I kind of, when I get downtime, I'm listening to, you know, podcasts, but mostly. I love like crime podcasts you know, or How I Built This, like those, the company podcast, business podcast, stuff like that. And of course I'll jump on, listen to something like Raised Rowdy or other things when I've got friends that are on them and I kind of want to hear their backstory or what they have to say about certain things. But so I do listen to a lot of podcasts. And then I don't know, man, I've always loved classic rock, so you know, that's an easy go-to for me. I'm a huge Eric Church fan, so that's always easy to put on some Eric Church. And then my go-to, like golf, I always put on a Happy Hour country playlist on Apple, which is, it's just all the, it's a bunch of our boys, but it's no sad song, so it's, you know,
oh,
when you're
great.
On the golf course, you're not you're not like crying after you just missed a birdie. It's, you know, you need drinking my hand or, you know, whatever, cold beer calling my name or something like that. So that's kind of where I'm at on the golf course usually.
Yeah. Is it wild to feel like when you hear like the guys that are making the hits right now that are the top of selling out stadiums and stuff, like those are your boys. Like those are the guys,
man,
you came up with, dude.
Dude, it's a great feeling. Honestly, I don't know any of the guys that I came up with or that have become successful, the guys or the girls, that I think are not deserving of it. You know what I mean? They've all worked their ass off. I've seen it from all the sides of it. They're all good people, you know, and it's nice to be able to see them succeed. And you know, you may speak to them a little less just because they get so busy.
Dude,
and
their calendars are nuts.
Yeah,
bro.
But you know, the good thing is it's like when you do, you know, you hit the ground running. And so I'm proud of the state of country music and how many people are getting the choice to listen to different kinds of music, but how many people have made it that are just good people that are great role models for people coming up and great people to be kind of at the helm, you know, of country music.
Yeah. Do you go out and watch some of those shows? Like, will you go out and like hang out with Luke on tour, like different people like that, and get to see the shows?
Yeah, so I've done it. I did at Carolina Country Music Festival was the first show.
CCMF, that's one that's on my bucket list. It's been great, man.
The guy that runs it, Bob Durkin, is awesome. He's good at those things. He also has the Barefoot Hangout Festival or whatever.
Yeah, up in Jersey.
In Jersey, yep. But we did that after COVID. It had been 15 months since there had been like a big country show, and that was Luke's first one back. And we had Does to Me as a number one during that time. So I'd never seen it perform live. And I played the Carolina Country Music Festival a little earlier in the day, and then went over and got to stand side stage and watch him sing that for the first time live, which was super cool. I do get out some and try and go see my buddies, probably less than I should. I'd like to, you know, and I'm actively trying to get out and write a little more on the road with the guys and everything. I went out with Riley not too long ago and got to see his shows. I do like to make sure I see the shows change every year for everyone. So,
they do.
You know, so for like Swindell, I went down to Tampa and caught his show, and in the same, like, it's nice seeing Riley's show this year. And so I try and make it to one of them a year.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also hard to make it to the ones in Nashville because, you know, they're so covered up, and I just don't want to fuck with them about it. I don't want to be like, yo, can I get like me and me plus one to come?
No. And I kind of like going to different places and seeing the show. Like, we saw Luke's show in Cincinnati, and it was awesome. I kind of like the out of town shows too. Obviously, at like the stadium level or like the arena level, it's a little bit different. But sometimes those Nashville club shows, they're very like buttoned up with all the suits kind of in there. Like, the crowds aren't as rowdy, you know?
Like
I want to go to the Georgia Theater and see a show. I want to go to Peaches or go to Iron City in Birmingham and catch a show there, versus like, nothing against like Brooklyn Bowl or Exit Inn. Like, those are great, great venues, but there's something different about like the out of town show, because those people aren't in the scene, you know? Like,
it's just the diehard fans. When you go out to see a show, you know, if it's wherever it might be, it's when you see your buddies, even as good of buddies as you are, you know, and you get there and walk backstage and where in New Hampshire or Red Rocks or some shit, you know, it's like, they're like, hey, you know, it was great to see you. And you're hanging out that night. It's, you feel like you're on vacation or something. Even, I mean, you know, they're working, but it's fun to see your buddies out on the road in different places, different venues and stuff like that.
Yeah. Guilford, New Hampshire is a good spot.
Yeah. Too. That is a good one.
That's like one of the top ones. That's one that I haven't been to. And my dad lives in New Hampshire, so I've been wanting to go to it, but I hear the backstage there, they break out like all the seafood, like the lobster and shit. And like, they got like the basketball court and
I think
the amenities are nuts. I think they have a golf.
That's probably why I remembered it. Cause I think they have a driving range out in the back, or just like, you know, it's a mat that you fire off into this. There's an island green that you try and hit. And if you don't, it's all, you know, out into the woods, but pretty cool.
Did you hit the green?
I don't think I kept one on there. I really don't remember, to be honest with you. I think it's like, you, even if you hit that green, it's really small and the ball kind of rolls off of it.
Oh, so it's like a trick.
So I don't know if you stick one on there really, but I probably didn't. I think I probably, you know, sniffed it a couple times, but I don't think I really make any hole-in-ones out there.
Yeah, I'm sure you've gotten some aces in your day, right?
Yeah, I've had four, well, I guess it's like four and a half. I don't know. I had one during COVID that went in and came out, and it had the little floaty thing in there that was only a quarter inch from the top.
Oh, okay.
So their ruling for that was like, if the ball goes in and comes out of the hole, it's good. But if that were to be my first number one or my first hole in one, I don't think I would have taken it. I would be like, man. But I mean, I'm pretty sure it was going to be. I was actually, Cole Swindell and Brett Young were both with me. It was at Troubadour when that was happening, and that was during COVID. So I call that one a half. But yeah, so I've had four and a half.
I appreciate the honesty. Yeah. Honesty is important in life. Very important in golf, man.
Yeah.
Very important. That's like me today. Yeah. I was writing down some sevens, you know? I'm honest with it, you know, dude?
Yeah.
And it's fun to just be out there lighting up a cigar, having a good time with people, having some tunes going. Besides golf and music and the family, what else do you like doing?
Man, I mean, I'm a big college football fan. I'm pretty involved with Florida State, so that's kind of cool. I've taken a position on the Seminole Masters board there at Florida State, which is like kind of our golf booster's arm, and we deal with, you know, with football somewhat and everything else. So it's been cool for me to kind of get behind the scenes. I've become really good friends with our AD, and I've got to know Mike Norville a little bit, and then our chairman and a bunch of my other buddies that are now kind of in the same position. So that does take up a good bit of my time, you know, being involved in that. But it's great, man. I enjoy it. So I love college football in general, but it's nice to be able to be involved with my alma mater. And then, other than that, man, it's family for me. I like being home, even though I'm not a ton. So when I'm home, I'm like, I just want to be home.
Yeah. Yeah. What, I haven't been to a game at Doak Campbell, but
it's awesome, man.
I've heard that it's just,
it's great.
Different thing when the mascots jamming it and just the Seminole War chant. And it just seems like, if you like college football, no matter what team you like, maybe not the Florida Gators, but if you like, you, you got to go and check out a game at Doak. What's been like some of your favorite memories at that stadium? Because,
I've had a lot of good ones. I took my dad to what I'm sure will probably be his last game. He's just getting up there in age a little bit and not quite as nimble and spry as he used to be. So getting around a stadium for him is a little tough, but we went to the Miami game a couple years ago and we scored that last touchdown, and it was kind of a cool moment for me with him when we won the game at the end of it. And then Daly went with me to the Florida game 2 years ago.
With Daly.
This was a night game. You know, I wasn't planning
that
on.
Sounds like a trip and a half.
Oh yeah, man. I kind of brought it up to him in passing. I was in Tampa the weekend before, and I was like, "Yeah, man, if you want to come up to Florida game, let me know." And then he's like, "Okay, yeah, I think I will." I was like, "Okay." And so, you know, I called a couple people. I was like, "Hey, Daly's going to come up here," and so we got him taken care of. He was with us the whole time. We went down, and we were probably, you know, 50 feet away from Osceola, and when he planted the spear, and we got our pictures with Renegade and all that kind of stuff. It was fun, man. He loved it. He had never been there, so he had an absolute ball. And in Tallahassee is a fun town to go out and party afterwards.
I've heard that, yeah, man. And there's music that's come out of there too, most notably Creed.
Yeah,
you know, like everybody, it seems like everybody in Tallahassee has a Scott Stapp story.
Yeah, they were kind of. Of course, big time when I was there, they kind of had already taken off. But Tallahassee is a cool town, man. And there are a lot of kids there the live music starting to come back to that town a little bit. For a while, it kind of disappeared. I'm not sure why, but, it's a great town.
That's cool, dude. Yeah. That's on my list of places to get to is Tallahassee, Florida. I'm going to Florabama this weekend. You've been down there a bunch, haven't you?
Yeah. Have you never been there?
No, I've been down. Yeah. We're doing Raise Rowdy. We're calling it Bama Bash.
Oh, nice.
And it's the Rays Rowdy takeover of the Florabama. So we're bringing, we're merging Rays Rowdy and the Bama together for a weekend. We're not as rowdy as we used to be. But it's wild down there. I think Roll Tide Willie's going to be coming too.
Oh, nice.
Which will be a spectacle. You know, like it's fun to have like different characters kind of out with you in places like that. Because I'm guessing you've played the Florabama quite a bit over the years, right?
Yeah, I would say, not like a million times, but I mean, I've played there, six, seven times probably. I think I did a whiskey jam down there. I did actually. Yeah, we did a whiskey jam there outdoors one time. And then I played that indoor stage a couple times, and then I think I played mullet toss one year at some point, or you know, of course that was all kind of a while ago. But and then I went down with Riley Green and Justin Weaver and Eric Dillon and wrote some songs for Riley's record and all that kind of stuff. So we had a great time down there. We'd go right, and then we'd go into the Florabama and have drinks all night and then get up right all day the next day.
You just kind of disappear into a black hole when you're there, dude. It's just, it's unlike
it's a place.
Get some bushwhackers.
Yeah.
Get the seafood, man. It's a spot. And I always tell people, you feel like you're living in a Riley Green or a Kenny Chesney song when you're in the Florabama.
Yeah, man.
You know, it has that kind of vibe to it. Like the history.
It's a badass dive bar in a you know, half in Florida, half in Alabama on the beach, you know?
Yeah. It's a one of a kind place. What places do you like going to here in town? You a big foodie or not?
Yeah, man, I am. I don't know that. I tend to forget sometimes, like some of the places I go. But I'm a big steak guy. Steakhouse guy. I would say I like to go grab a good steak. So I'm glad to see I've eaten at the Original Halls in Charleston.
Yeah.
A few times, and then I was glad to see that they've got a spot here now. Yeah. And then I think I went to the 1230 Club the other night up in the they have kind of a buddy of mine is a member there. I guess they have a membership thing there. So we ate upstairs there and kind of a you know, more of a dining setting. That was cool. And then bourbon steak. And I mean, man, we've got a lot of good ones. And then a lot of the smaller ones too, that are great restaurants. So I'm never worried about being able to find a good meal in Nashville.
No, dude, it's crazy the amount of food that we have here.
Yeah.
And it's a little taste of everything too.
All
which
kinds
is cool.
Of, yeah.
It's like influence from all over the place. Yeah. Halls is one. My girlfriend's from Charleston originally. So she's a big Halls girl.
Yep.
And it's good spot. Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff, dude. But, playing through, what do you guys have for like the rest of the year as far as stuff going on? Is all that stuff pretty much like sold out, or how does it kind of work for people looking to get tickets or come to that?
Yeah. It's so a lot of the shows that we're doing, we do at private clubs. So they're, you know, just kind of really nice golf courses.
And that's great too, because you get to play these
destination
golf courses.
So most of the shows are actually for their members and their members' guests only. And then sometimes there are a few that might, you know, say, hey, if you guys want to, you know, bring 10 or 12 people. So that might just be us reaching out. So we don't really have a model where there's public sales of the tickets.
Okay.
To these. And that's kind of how we have to do that too, just to get around, you know, 90-90 clauses for big artists and everything else. So they don't want to cannibalize their ticket sales or anything else. So by keeping it a private show, it makes it where it's a little different of an animal and makes it easier. And we do eventually have plans on doing a really big charity show in Nashville where we kind of get everyone that's played it with us in the past to do one big show together.
That'd be cool.
And I think that one would involve, you know, selling some tickets to the public. So, you know, I guess just our social media would be where that's available. And then we do have our hats and stuff, and we're going to, I guess, kind of expand the merch a little bit.
Is that what you got on your head right now? Yeah, that's a sick design, dude. That dome hat, dome makes some clean hats.
Yeah.
Too.
So we've got quite a few different colors, just the, you know, the dude swinging the guitar, and it's kind of a cool logo. We get a lot of comments on it. So we move a good bit of the hats, and we have them all different colors. A lot of them are kind of college based colors.
That's smart, dude. Yeah.
So yeah, we've got some that are kind of FSU colors and some that are Georgia Southern colors, which would be like this one, because of Cole Swindell being a founding father. And then we have some that are Georgia colors because of Cole Taylor. And
God bless Statesboro.
Yeah.
God bless Statesboro, Georgia. Everybody's got a Statesboro story.
Oh yeah.
Especially like, I know back in the day it was even rowdier than it is now, but right now it's still pretty rowdy.
Yeah.
You know, having gone
spot.
Down there in the past few years, and just the guys that have come out of there, going back to Luke Bryan and Cole and Dallas to the modern guys like Gavin Adcock and Cole Goodwin and Will Mosley, and it's nuts.
Yeah.
So
hell yeah. It's a good spot.
I love Statesboro. God bless. It's got gifts that'll stay with you for a while if you do it a certain way. But dude, sure. I appreciate you coming on and
yeah, man.
And taking the time, and we're happy to call you a member of the Raised Rowdy family.
Too. Yeah, man. I'm glad to see you guys are still going strong. I know that y'all been working hard at it for a long time. So
yeah, dude, it's crazy. We do about a dozen events a month in town. We do festivals all over the country. We crank out about 25 to 30 podcast episodes a month between everything in our network.
And yeah.
Do all the merch, and Nikki Tina are somehow still standing.
That's
know?
Awesome, man.
It's going
well.
Well,
just let me know whenever y'all have something else coming up. I'll have to come out and play one of them.
If you guys wanted to do a playing through takeover, like a round or something,
fair enough. Yeah,
that could be cool.
Yeah,
especially being over at Losers.
We could raise some money for charity.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah,
that could be really cool. Or Rhett Riley. So, Tyler, I appreciate you, buddy. Everybody can find you. Is it Tyler Reeve Music or just Tyler Reeve?
Just on Instagram is Tyler Reeve. I think most of it's just Tyler Reeve. Cool. And I'm fairly, like, I'm on Instagram. I don't really do a lot of other stuff, but I'm sure you can just look on Instagram.
Look up Tyler Reeve and look up Playing Through. Great what you guys are doing with that, raising money for charity, getting to play some sick golf courses and bring the songwriting, Writers Round style to the masses, dude.
Yeah.
It's really awesome what you guys are doing. Well, y'all be sure to look up our boy Tyler Reeve, and be sure to look up Surfside. Get him. We're going to send Tyler home with a 4-pack of the vodka iced teas. We also got a bunch of merchandise. Visit RaisedRowdy.com for more on us. From Man Tyler, I'm Matt Barilla. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.